praise you for who you are, for all that you have done for us. You are a great and glorious God. You love us. We'll never understand, but we will praise you throughout all eternity for the mercy and the grace that you have showered upon us. It is your delight to save us and to have us be in your family. And it is a joy to your heart to see us together here today worshiping you. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be filling each one of us, enabling us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to have hearts ready to receive your word as the pastor brings the message. Fill him with your Spirit. Use him to challenge and encourage whatever each heart needs this morning from the scripture that you've laid on his heart. And Father, we pray that everything that is done in this hour will bring honor and glory to your name, draw us closer to you and to one another, and encourage us and challenge us to walk close with our Savior this week in these challenging days. We praise you for this time together and commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Scripture for our scripture reading in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be reading from verse 21. Mark chapter 5 and reading starting at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi. Which is, being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. We'll be looking at this passage in a few moments. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. As we look at the Lord Jesus again this morning, we are amazed at all of the wonderful things that he did when he was here and all the marvelous things that you're still doing today in our lives and in our world. And we do pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct us today in everything that we do, that we would be pleasing in your sight. Bless your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to take it in and to digest what you're saying to us and to apply it to our hearts. Lord, we need this so much. Only believe. Lord, we need to believe you. We need to trust you. We need to put our faith and confidence in you completely. May that be so. Cleanse us from every sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Make us what you'd have us to be. And bless your people wherever they may be found. Lord, we thank you for the church, for every believer. We pray your blessings upon them and ask you to help them. Be with those that are sick today. Our Father, touch and heal those who are not doing well. We think of Amber. We do pray that the doctors will determine what her problem is and be able to take care of it, to bless her family. We pray to our Father as we think of these prayer meetings that are going to be held and praying for our country. Lord, how we need that. And we just pray that you will guide and lead us, be with our government and those who are in charge, that they might know how to lead us in the right direction. Give wisdom and understanding. Defeat evil, our Father, and may the good prevail. May Jesus Christ, our Savior, be glorified. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Let's turn once again to Mark chapter 5. Last week we saw how Jesus set the maniac free. You remember? The maniac of Gadara. As we saw here, this man who caused so much trouble and problems to the population all around him, a wild person, when Jesus came and touched him, so to speak, and he was set completely free. Isn't it wonderful what Jesus can do? We see that casting out the demons, casting out sin, and setting people free from their sins. Today we see there's three different people actually involved here, especially. When Jesus and his disciples came back across the sea again, they back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. It seems like that's one of the main things that we're looking at here lately. They came back across, and as they got out, there was a whole crowd of people there, and there was this one man, it says, was a ruler of the synagogue. Now, they tell us this Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue. This is one who made sure that everything was arranged correctly. He wasn't the speaker, but he was the one who took care of a great number of the details and a very, no doubt, wealthy person, someone who was highly esteemed in the synagogue. And this was, of course, at Capernaum, it tells us in Matthew. He was also a very anxious father. He had one daughter who was 12 years old, according to Luke, and she was very, very sick. Apparently on her deathbed, we would say. Some of the places even say that she had died, and others that she was very near to death. But here we find this man comes to Jesus. And it says in verse 23, he said, he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. There she is, right there. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. So we see this man had faith, didn't he? He believed that Jesus could do something to help his daughter. He says, if you will only come and touch her. Apparently he knew that Jesus had healed a number of other people and had done other miracles and signs, and he believed that he could do this. I'm not sure how deep his faith might have been at this time, but we see that he believed that Jesus could do something for his daughter. And notice it says very simply, Jesus went with him. He made a request to Jesus, and Jesus simply did as he requested. You know, that's wonderful. We can come to the Lord in prayer, can't we? You know, and ask him for something, and many times he will simply do what we ask him to do. Other times he may do something better or something different. But he always hears and answers our prayer. And in this case, he simply went with him. And a lot of people followed along behind. Everywhere Jesus went, of course, there were these throngs of people constantly there with him, listening to what he had to say, or just there to find out what was going to happen. You know, when you have something unusual going on, people gather in, don't they? You know? And they want to say, what's happening? You know? And that's the way it was with Jesus. I remember he talks about Herod. You remember? When Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, Herod said, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. You know, I've been wanting to see you do a miracle. Come on, let's do a miracle." You know? And Jesus wouldn't do anything for him, you see, because he knew the person that he was. But here, Jesus goes along with Jairus. And they're going along, the crowd's all there and everything. And then the second person comes into the story, verse 25. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, it's interesting to notice something. I'm not sure if this is a coincidence or what. But this woman had had this infirmity for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. So ever since this girl had been in the world, this lady had been suffering with this blood condition, hemorrhaging, I suppose, on some kind of hemorrhage inside. And she had suffered a great deal, both physically and socially, because when you have this kind of problem, you are ostracized, you know. It's like the lepers, you know. You can't go to synagogue. You can't be with your family. You have to be separate because it's a contagious disease or something. I don't know, some kind of virus maybe. But whatever, she had this blood condition and suffered a great deal and felt herself unclean. She was considered unclean. She had this issue of blood for 12 long years. And also, it says, she suffered many things of many physicians. Now, can you imagine back in that day what these physicians might have done to this lady? You know, I remember back in George Washington's time, they had the leeches where they would put on them, you know, and bleed them and so forth and that kind of thing. I mean, what would they have done back in the first century? You know, all these different physicians had their own cures, I'm sure, and yet it says that she suffered many things from them and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So this was an incurable thing that she couldn't do anything about. And she went to all these different doctors and tried all of these different cures, and nothing worked. Well, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? To go through all that, and she spent all of her money. And here she is, destitute, and alone, and without any help whatsoever. Verse 27, notice. When she had heard of Jesus. Think of that. She's been to all these other doctors, you know, everywhere, and they couldn't help her whatsoever. But then she heard, hey, there's a new man in town, right? Here he comes. He may be able to do something. And so she heard about Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. You know, that's the reason people need, first of all, to hear about Jesus, right? I know there's Many, many people, unbelievably or not, that have never heard of Jesus. They need to hear. First of all, they can't possibly get any help from him until they hear about him. And so anyway, she came in the press along with all the rest of the crowd that was gathering around, and she came and touched his garment. They say, you know, they had these little tassels at the bottom of their robe. She just grabbed a hold of one of them. Because she said, if I could just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So we see she had faith as well, didn't she? She believed that Jesus could do something for her, you know. And the scripture says that when we come to God, we have to come in faith believing, right? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. If we don't believe he's going to do what we ask him to do, then we might as well not ask, right? I think that's true. And here, this woman, she believed he was going to heal her. And she said, if I could just touch his clothes. And she did that by faith. And she was instantly healed. Notice that. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. After 12 years, for the first time, now she felt completely well. She's been cured. She's been healed. And you can just imagine the relief that must have swept over this lady. And in the fact that she was now healed from her plague, as it says. And notice what happened to Jesus. Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. He felt it, just like she did. He felt it. And he turned around and he said, who touched my clothes? The disciples look at him and say, what do you mean? Who touched your clothes? You've got all these people all around you, you know, thronging you on every side, and you're wondering who touched you. But they said there were all these different people there, crowding around him, pushing him. But there was only one that touched him in a certain way. What's the song saying? He touched me. Oh yes, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. He touched me. That's wonderful to think about. And it's always such a blessing when we sense the nearness of Jesus and he touches us for one reason or another. And this woman had the healing touch of Christ. And he realized it. It's amazing to think something went out of him. It was like the strength, or it says virtue went out of him. He knew that someone had benefited from his power. And so the woman finally comes, verse 33. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So, you see, she realized that she had been healed, and Jesus realized someone had touched him, and she comes and admits it to him. And fearing and trembling. Can you imagine? You know, can you remember when you came to the Lord? It's a different sensation, isn't it? Maybe not everyone. Some people are saved when they're very young and so forth. But there's something about it when you realize that Jesus Christ has taken all of your sins away, that you are clean, that you have new life in him. It might take a while for you to understand that. But at any rate, fearing and trembling. Sometimes maybe when you're first coming to the Lord, there might be a little bit of that, trembling and being afraid not knowing exactly what to do or what's going to happen. This woman wasn't sure. She had faith, yes, but at the same time, there's some fear there. And she comes to the Lord and confesses to him what it's all about. And Jesus reassures her. It's okay, right? He says what? Daughter. Now, I don't know how old this lady was. Jesus was about 30 or so. And yet he calls her daughter because of his superiority. He says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. Right? Thy faith hath made thee whole. What else can we do except trust in what God tells us, what Jesus did for us? We believe in him, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, right? And that's what this woman did. He says, thy faith has made thee whole. You might think, well, how could touching the hem of his garment possibly heal this woman? She did it in faith. You see? Believing that Jesus could do something for her. And she believed that he was someone very special. And he says, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Can you imagine? She hadn't had any peace for 12 years. Now he says, it's all over. You know, it's like when the scripture says you're born again, you have a new life. You don't have to continue on in your slavery or in your sickness, in this case. And go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Okay, so this is the lady. Now she is made well. And no doubt rejoicing, goes on her way. And then there's some people that come from the Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue. And they said, your daughter is dead. You don't need to bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother the master. He can't do anything. She's dead. You know, the scripture says that we are dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins, right? And we have to be what? Made alive. You know, if somebody's dead, you need to be made alive, right? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He can give new life to those who are dead. And we see that in other places, as a couple of others. You remember Lazarus, of course, the brother of Mary and Martha, Bethany. And they send a note to Jesus, or they a message. He whom thou lovest is sick. Excuse me, sick. And Jesus doesn't go right away. Stays where he is for several days. And then finally he goes. He says, let's go wake up Lazarus, right? And finally he tells his disciples he's dead. But he goes and he talks to Martha. She comes out and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary comes out later and says the same thing, right? But Jesus says, don't worry about it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. So here we have Lazarus, and then there was the son of the widow of Nain, you remember? They were having the funeral procession, and Jesus comes along. He touches the boy, and he comes up, sets up, and he gives him back to his mother. And here we have then, these people come along with the sad news, your daughter has died, there's nothing more to do. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he says to the ruler of the synagogue, Notice, be not afraid, only believe. You know, we all should memorize those words, five words. Be not afraid, only believe. Right? And, you know, that would settle a lot of things, I think, in our lives if we would do that. Just put our faith and trust in the Lord and not worry and fret about everything that surrounds us, no matter what it might be. And he says, be not afraid, only believe. So they go on, and it says he sent everyone else away except for Peter, James, and John. These were the three disciples of the inner circle that he took with him so often, right? Up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were the ones that went with him there. And into the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, he took Peter, James, and John. He had special training for these men, I believe. These were some that he was going to give a greater responsibility to. And so he was training them. And he took them in with him, these three men. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And he sees all this, it says tumult, chaos, all these things going on, all this noise. They were out there weeping and wailing. It says that, I was reading someplace, that it was obligatory that you would have at least two that would be hired to weep and wail at a funeral, you know, whenever there was someone died. And this man was an important person. No doubt there were more than that that were out there weeping and wailing and mourning over the death of this little girl. I know I've seen on television some of the, over the Middle East till today, you know, whenever they have a big funeral or something, you see all these people fainting and, you know, all kinds of weeping and wailing going on. Well, that's the type of thing that was happening here. And they were hired professionals. It's not that they were sad that the girl died. They were just putting on their performance, you know. Just like so many people today, I think, are still doing that type of thing. And so anyway, Jesus, he tells them, why are you making so much noise? He come in and he says, why you make this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. She's just asleep. You don't have to worry about it. Don't be so upset about this little one. She's not dead. And what does it say? They laughed him to scorn. You're crazy. You know, of course she's dead. We can see that she's dead. You know, she's laying there, not breathing. And so he put them all outside, made them all leave, took the father and mother and his three disciples and went in where the girl was. And he took her by the hand. And he said to her in her own language, Aramaic, Talitha kumi, which means, it says here, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Someone had said it could be translated, little lamb, wake up. The word here could be used of a lamb as well. He's thinking of such a tender way of awaking this little one from death. And you see the power of God again in Jesus. Just like waking somebody up that's asleep, he woke up this little girl that was dead. He has all power, he says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so he touched her. He spoke to her. And she responded immediately, straightway. She arose and walked around. She was 12 years old, as it says. And they were astonished with great astonishment. What do you think? Wouldn't you be? If all of a sudden this dead person just gets up and starts walking around, that's enough to astonish just about anybody, isn't it? And here we find she was perfectly all right. He charged them straightly that no man should know it. Don't go around telling anybody this. We don't want to cause a panic or whatever. Commanded that something should be given her to eat. You know, here she was, 12 years old. You know, kids that age are always hungry, aren't they? Teenagers, not quite a teenager, but almost. And they love to eat. But anyway, we find here that she's perfectly well. So, he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Right? Only believe, Jesus said. Reach out and touch Jesus by faith and see the difference it can make in your life. This is, faith is what it's all about. You know, think about it. What is your need today? Do you have a need? Where are you going to go to find the answer to it? Well, best place to go is to Jesus, right? He's the one who has the answer. Now, I realize he's not here in person, but we have access to him, don't we? He's our mediator between God and men, and we can go in Jesus' name and ask the Father for whatever we need, whatever it might be, and he will respond according to his will. Jairus came to Jesus on behalf of his young daughter who was dying. He had no way of helping her himself. Jesus was his only hope. You know? Doesn't that make you think of something? Here we are, sinners, undone, without any hope, on our way to hell. What's our hope? The only hope we have is Jesus, right? He's the only one who can change our life. He's the only one who can turn us around and put us on the right pathway and help us to know him. And even as believers, we still need him in our lives every day, whatever the problem might be, to place our faith and trust in him. This woman with the issue of blood had tried everything to resolve her problem. She had spent all of her money. She'd been to all the doctors, but simply got worse. Nothing to do. Although she was reluctant, she decided to make contact with Jesus. She didn't know who he was exactly, but she says, I'll try. So by faith, she touched the hem of his garment and was made completely whole. Jesus invites each one of us to do the same thing, to come to him with our burdens. He's able to save those who are lost, to restore those who are strayed away, and to meet the need of anyone who will put their faith and trust in him. So we should come to him, and he will supply our needs. He's promised that he would be with us as believers, and we can bring all of our burdens to him. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Right? So often we take our burdens to the Lord, pick them up, and take them back with us. Right? He says, no, leave it there. And allow him to meet your need. Our Father, we thank you this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ and for his mighty power. Lord, we have trouble sometimes understanding all of these things about how you can be one and three, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. And yet we know that it's true. And we know that Jesus is the embodiment of God in human form. And we can look to him for all of our needs. We just thank you for your mighty power and we thank you for supplying our every need. Help us, O Lord, to put our faith and trust in you and to walk in fellowship and to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.